Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and it is hard to believe that we are 2 weeks away from Thursday from the 2018 NFL Draft. It is absolutely crunch time. And if you are listening to these, binge listening to the College Draft podcast, well, congratulations for coming to the right place, because we've got the best in the business, Fran Duffy. He is the Philadelphia Eagles video scouting guru. They kind of won the Super Bowl, and you can check him out on Twitter at FDuffy3. I'm a former NFL offensive lineman. I think most of you probably know that. Journeyman dude. It was a blast. At Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL, and at RTF Podcast for all of the different shows we have for you over at RossTucker.com. What's cool about this show, by the way, is we're year-round. This is not like some fly-by-night for a month and a half before the draft or whatever. No. We are year-round, so you can stay ahead of these things year-round and learn, which is exactly what you can also do at the Scouting Academy. We love the Scouting Academy. I mean, when you have faculty like Lewis Riddick, Wade Phillips, Chris Palmer, Mike March, Jerry Angelo, are you kidding me? You guys can actually learn from those guys online in a classroom setting. Very, very, very cool. If you've ever had any thought that maybe you want to try to make a career switch, it's never too late. And they've got summer registration. So just make sure, if you're even considering it, go to RossTucker.com, click on the Scouting Academy logo on the sponsor page, so that if you do get summer registration, if you do decide to give it a shot, you get $50 off, which is really cool. Again, that's the Scouting Academy, a great idea by former scout Dan Hatman of the Jets, Giants, and the Eagles. Fran, let's dive into it. We've got tight ends today. What other positions do we have left? Do you even know?
Secondary. We still have corners and safeties that we'll hit on. So I think that'll be next week, and then we'll wrap things up with our mock draft. We get the draft.
I love it. All right. So next week we will get into the secondary a little bit. All right. So tight ends. Fran, just in general, your thoughts on this group?
Well, I think the thing is that last year we had a crazy dynamic group, right? We had all these guys that went to the combine and just blew it up from a historical standpoint. We had three guys go in the first round, and that wasn't even a shock to anybody to see those three go early in the draft. So, you know, I think the fact that you had last year's class, which was historically good, followed up by this class, I think people look at it as a bit disappointing. I do think, though, Ross, it's a pretty good class overall. I mean, I think that there's a handful of guys that are going to go, maybe not in the first round, but on day two, certainly. And I think that there are some guys with some upside. So it's not a great group, but I would say it's better than some groups we've seen in the last, 5 to 7 years as well. There are some guys that I think are really intriguing, and I think that there are players that offer a very specific skill set. You know, there, if you're looking for a blocker, you've got that. If you're looking for a straight pass catcher, you've got that. You've got big guys, you've got small guys. There's a lot of versatility in this group, and a lot of guys that offer some varied skill sets.
All right. Well, I like it. I feel like the position, I mean, we could say it's about a lot of positions, but it does seem like more and more teams are using it as a weapon, and more teams are valuing it. I mean, look at what the Bears paid Trey Burton, former Eagle. You know, and every team feels like they need to have at least one guy like an Ertz, a Kelce, those guys. Even look at the Colts getting a second guy like Eric Ebron to go with Jack Doyle.
Well, I think it's, everybody likes to say, you know, obviously it's a passing league and everyone wants to spread out and go four wide. But the best teams, Ross, the best teams in the NFL right now are going at it with a little bit heavier personnel groupings on a more consistent basis. You know, you see 12 personnel, 13 personnel, and that's where you get into the versatility at this position, specifically. And versatility doesn't just mean that you can just line up out wide and catch passes. No, that doesn't mean you're versatile. That means that you're a pass catcher. It means you're a big pass catcher. Versatile means that you can line up anywhere and be somewhat effective. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you need to take and we're going to talk about Mike Gesicki on the show. It doesn't mean that Mike Gesicki needs to be this mauler in the run game. All it means is that any of these guys need to be good enough everywhere so that when an offense lines up and, you know, if it's Dallas Goedert lined up in line or if it's Ryan Izzo lined up out in the slot or if it's Hayden Hurst lined up as a wing, wherever you line up as a tight end, the defense doesn't know if it's going to be run or pass. If you're able to keep the defense guessing and you're not able to be predictable in the way that you line up and in the way that you deploy those personnel, now you're in shape. Now you've got the ability to play with heavy tight end groups. And now it's not like the defense can go in and say, all right, well, it's 13 personnel. It's definitely going to be a run. Or it's 12 personnel and Mike Gesicki's in the game. It's probably not going to be a run because they're going to throw it. You know, that's what you don't want as an offense. And as long as these guys show the ability to be functional as a blocker or functional as a pass catcher out wide, now the offense has something to cook with, and they've got the ability to attack defenses in a lot of different ways. And that's mainly the number one thing that I'm looking for from all these guys to be able to be a key part of an offense is, are they good enough to be that versatile threat where they can be a serviceable blocker and or a serviceable pass catcher?
All right, so let's dive into this group a little bit, Fran. I got some other questions I might ask you at the end, but I want to make sure we have plenty of time to get through this. Let's go to Dallas Goedert. Well, actually, let me take a sip. I just jumped the shark right there. Who's your favorite to watch on film?
I'm looking
at the name
Dallas
of the
Goedert.
Guy rather than asking you the question.
It is Dallas Goedert. And, you know, he's not what I would – if I were to rank it, you know, if I were to say, like, all right, who's number one on my board? Goedert wouldn't be number one on my board. Gesicki would be, just because you have to understand the upside there with Gesicki and what he can be from a production standpoint in the NFL level. But when I watch Dallas Goedert, I think that he's the most ready right now. He's a very good receiver. He's very reliable at the catch point. He's a guy that's really come along as a route runner over the course of the last 2 years. I remember watching him early on in his junior season, and you could see that he was really struggling in terms of creating that separation. Got a little bit better each and every week last year as a junior, and then as a senior, I thought that continued. He's still not where he needs to be yet, but I'll tell you what, the kid knows how to create separation, and I like I said, he's so good at the catch point. Not a great blocker right now, but a guy who's a functional blocker right now, and you see flashes there. He's asked to line up in line with his hand in the dirt. He's asked to block defensive ends at times. He's asked to get down, you know, come down and pin a defensive tackle, you know, as a wham blocker. You know, used a lot of different ways. And you know, when I see that, I see a guy that at least has the ability, and he's big enough. I mean, he's 6'4.5". He's just under 260 pounds. So Dallas Goedert, to me, is a guy that can be a good starting tight end in the NFL. He reminds me in some ways of Kyle Rudolph, and I think that that's a player that he can compare favorably to. Like I said, the ball skills, the development that he's shown as a route runner really gets me excited, and I think that he's good enough as a blocker to be able to be a three-down player. So to me, Dallas Goedert is my favorite guy to watch, and he was crazy, crazy productive at the FCS level.
So it was interesting, in Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback this week, Gil Brandt, who, you know, works for the NFL and is a big part of this stuff, he mentioned that Goedert never ran a 40.
Yep.
And said he could go as high as late first round and as low as third round because people don't really know how fast he is. How much of a concern would that be for you?
Almost none. At the tight end position, I'm more worried, honestly, about short area quickness, the ability to create. Because, you know, yeah, it's great to have a guy who can really stretch the seam at, like, a really high level. But if Mike Gesicki, you know, Mike Gesicki ran 4.55, and that gets people excited. Hayden Hurst ran 4.68. All right, that's an above average number for a tight end. Dalton Schultz ran 4.76 at the combine. That's a below average number. No one's talking about any of those guys and mentioning their 40 time and saying, wow, we have to draft this guy, or wow, we really are low on this guy. To me, the more important numbers for the tight end, if we're going to talk about like athletic testing, are the shuttles, because I want to see the short area quickness, the ability to get in and out of breaks and just create that initial separation. And Dallas Goedert, his numbers were outstanding in the shuttles. Three cone was 6.87. That's an outstanding number for the tight end spot. And 406 in the short shuttle. I mean, that's the best of any tight end in this class. It's better than what Gesicki did at the combine. So you look at Dallas Goedert, the fact that he didn't run a 40, like, okay, yeah, you'd like to see it, but I'm not going to knock him for it. On film, he looks plenty fast to me.
Who's a guy that's underrated in the media in your mind?
There are a few guys, but the one guy, and I actually didn't get to him until a little bit later in the process. It was right after the combine, just because there were so many juniors to get through. But Ryan Izzo from Florida State is a player that's kind of been on my radar for a couple years now. He's a three-year starter, actually, with Florida State. He's from North Jersey. He went to Highland Lakes High School, or Pope John the 13th High School up in Highland Lakes. And, you know, he's 6'5", he's 255 pounds. He's the best blocker in this class at the tight end spot. He's really, really good at the point of attack as a run blocker. I really like him in pass protection as well, and I just love the way that he plays the game. You see the ability to compete with defensive ends, not just in the ACC, but you know, we saw Florida State against Florida the last few years. We saw him against Alabama back in week one. So you see him blocking against NFL-quality edge rushers on a consistent basis, and I like seeing that from the tight end spot. Now, that's going to, well, the fact that he's known for his blocking doesn't mean he's going to go in the first round. We're talking about a guy who's probably going to be, you know, fourth, fifth round pick. But when you look at Ryan Izzo, I think the fact that he can be counted on right away to be a blocker, and then also he's a pretty reliable pass catcher as well. I think he does have a couple drops on his resume, but a guy that I think could be reliable in the short and intermediate areas. He's not going to be a game breaker as a pass catcher, but the fact that I think that he's good enough as a pass catcher shows me, you know, that he can be one of the, like, what did I say earlier? As long as he's functional in every area across the board, he could be a three-down player. And I think Ryan Izzo can be that. There are plenty of tight ends starting in the NFL right now that are three-down players that have his skill set. And I think that, to me, he projects very well to the NFL to be a three-down player.
Give me a guy that you like, but something about them scares you.
That would be Mark Andrews from Oklahoma, because there is a lot to like with him. And coming into the year, I was pretty excited about the kid. You know, he's 6'5", he's 255 pounds. He did add a little bit of weight on going into his junior season, and I think that was because he understood, yeah, I'm going to have to make the transition to the tight end spot. He's not going to be a receiver. I mean, his production was crazy. I mean, he averaged just under 16 yards a catch as a you know, quote-unquote tight end, basically a big slot receiver for the Sooners. But you know, so when he added that weight on this year, he didn't look quite as dynamic as what I had seen. I actually watched him in the summer, and you know, just a couple months later, I watched him, and I wasn't overly impressed with how he moved. But overall, the kid plays the ball well in the air. I do think he's pretty smooth in and out of breaks. He could be a reliable pass catcher. The question is going to be that he's never been used really as an inline blocker, so he's going to have to get used to seeing the game from that spot. But then also, even when he was asked to block slot corners and safeties in the Big 12 out in the perimeter, he wasn't all that impressive there either. And so when you see that, you're like, all right, well, if he can't block college DBs, how is he going to do when he's asked to block a linebacker or a defensive end in the NFL, where it's going to be significantly tougher? Not where he needs to be right now as a route runner. You see flashes there, but he's not where he needs to be there yet. So, you know, to me, I see a guy where there's going to be some issues there in terms of how long it's going to take him to get adjusted, and that's really the big concern. But that being said, like I said, he is a good pass catcher. He is very reliable at the catch point, and he does have the ability, if he's matched up on most NFL linebackers, he's going to separate, and that's going to be the big thing with him, is can he hang his hat on being a reliable pass catcher early and play special teams while he's learning to come around in the other areas of his game.
That's interesting, because, you know, I think a lot of people just watch college football. You know, it seems like every game you watch, he has like 8 catches for 110 yards and a touchdown. And I thought he'd be, I mean, I see like top 5 tight end rankings, and he's not even on them for some of them.
Yeah, and I think that's the main reason. I think a lot of people expected he was going to go to the combine and rip it up. If he had done what Gesicki did, I think that we'd be talking about Mark Andrews. Everybody would be having him as a top 3, top 4 tight end, and he didn't do that. He'd still have those issues, though. The combine testing doesn't show anything about blocking and route running, but you know, I think when you look at Andrews, that's really the big thing, is that if he had come out and if he had tested like a freak, I think that then people, that would be a little bit easier pill to swallow for people, that he's still developmental in a lot of areas. But since he didn't, I think he's a little bit off the radar right now.
How about a guy that is scheme specific?
Well, that would be Mike Gesicki, and he would like I said earlier, if I were to stack all these guys and say, all right, who's the number one, I would say it's Gesicki because he's got the highest upside to me in this group. You know, he's 6 foot six, he's 245 pounds, he's got great length for the position. His ball skills are outstanding. He has got we talk about this at the wide receiver position at times. He has a my ball mentality. If that ball's in the air, he's going up and he is going to come down with it. You know, he's a great athlete. He's got the ability to dunk a basketball. We know about his volleyball background. I mean, his athletic prowess is no secret in the country right now in terms of covering the draft. A former receiver who came and made the transition to the tight end position. I really like this kid at the catch point, and he's gotten a little bit better as a route runner. He's still not where he needs to be yet, but man, every time I watch him, I can't help but think of Zach Ertz and just the impact that Zach has had in the NFL and really a lot of similarities in their game. I think that Zach was probably a little bit further along as a blocker coming out of Stanford than where Gesicki is right now at Penn State. But I do think that he's a little bit better than given credit for. I do think that if you use him in certain ways that he can be functional. Like I said, you know, if he's going to be asked to be on the backside, if he's, you know, coming across the formation on split zones or, you know, coming across on whams and blocking guys kind of on their blind side. Now, I think that there's something to work with, and you can hope that he can do that early and then develop in other areas. But I'll tell you what, man, his athleticism, he was used on so many vertical routes at Penn State, used down the field very, very often. He's so good winning in those contested situations. He's got an early role early on to be able to be an impact player in the red zone. If he goes to a team with a creative offensive mind, they're going to find ways to get him the football and in all areas of the field. And to me, that's what makes him the number one guy in this class. Mike Gesicki, to me, is really, really intriguing. If he goes to a creative offensive mind, now you're talking about really high-end production. If he doesn't, then maybe, you know, he could end up being like a backup, you know, and a guy that doesn't play all three downs and really just comes on passing downs. So where he ranks to me in terms of, you know, for all the fantasy football people out there, where he ranks ultimately is going to end up being decided by where he ends up getting drafted, because the upside is really, really high.
You know, it's a little weird to me that for as fast as he is, as athletic as he is, he didn't create that much separation all that much. Like, usually most of his catches were because he has such a big body, the leaping ability, and the body control. You know, and maybe it's the route running part of it. Maybe it's because he's a long strider. But I would have thought that he'd create more separation than he did. And the other thing is, he didn't really – and I'm a fan, but he didn't really have – a whole lot of like yards after the catch. Like, if you're running 4.54 as big as he is, he has a tendency to fall down after he catches the ball that I know that they were working on with him. So anyway, just a couple little additional insights there. How about the safest guy, Fran?
Well, I think that in terms of the highest floor at the position, I think you're probably looking at a guy like Hayden Hurst. You know, and I would say Ryan Izzo, he'd probably throw in that group as well. But Hayden Hurst, to me, in terms of the big name guys, he probably has the highest floor. He's a little bit older. You know, he's going to be a 24-year-old rookie. He's 6'4 and a half, 250 pounds. So he's got some size to work with. He was extremely productive in his 2 years as a starter for South Carolina. He's really reliable at the catch point. I really like his ball skills as well. Really competitive kid. I like the fact that he will compete as a blocker. And he was used in so many different ways. I mean, whether he lined up out wide, whether he was in the slot, as a wing, in line, in the backfield. I mean, he's taking the jet sweeps. He's getting runs out of the backfield. He was just used in so many different ways. But to me, what makes him, you know, a guy that say, all right, I feel good that this guy at least is going to last in the NFL, even if it's just as, you know, a number two guy and he never really has that ability to that upside to reach a number one status. I think it's just the fact that he does everything pretty well across the board. Now, I will say the fact that, you know, he's a little bit older, and the fact that he competed at a high level in the SEC against guys that were younger than him for the most part, and, you know, there's going to be that knock on him. I think that does play a factor a little bit, the fact that he's a couple years older than a lot of these guys. And, you know, you see him manhandling linebackers and safeties at the second and third level. That's going to be a little bit of a concern for people and trying to project him to the NFL, where that's not going to be the case. But look, he's a guy, again, that plays the ball very well in the air. He's really, really reliable. I don't know that he put a ball on the ground this year. You know what? He had one drop, exactly one drop, in 2017 as a high-volume target in that offense, which is really, really impressive. Like Gesicki and like Goddard, I think he does need to get a little bit better as a route runner. I'd say he's probably around Gesicki in terms of where he is right now and creating that separation. I don't see that strength that I'd like to see at the point of attack against defensive ends. But again, I think from a high floor standpoint, I think Hayden Hurst probably takes the cake in this class in terms of having the highest floor, because I feel like he, at the very least, it feels really, really good that he could be a number two guy, and he's great off the field as well. So you're not worried about anything there either.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I guess, you know, 24, I mean, these guys are signing four-year deals. I guess as a first-round pick, you have a fifth-year option. I know he'll turn 25 in August, but, I mean, a lot of these guys are 22, 23. I guess my question would be, is 2 years really that much of a difference? Like, and then also, conversely, I saw where Dane Brugler, our buddy, pointed out, Tremaine Edmonds is 19 years old.
Yeah.
Like, that's unbelievable. So
He turns 20 next month in May.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of these people are under 21. I guess, in general, how much do you think the teams put into that kind of stuff?
Dude, it's one of the most divisive topics you could possibly bring up in the entire business, because there are some people that just poo-poo it and say, like, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. And then there are some people that really, really think it's important, and for a number of reasons. There's the contract, in, you know, the contract side of it, where, hey, you know, by the time this guy finishes his first deal, he's going to be, you know, 28, 29, 30 years old. There's the fact that, like what I mentioned, that, you know, he's just bigger and naturally stronger. He's older. His body's more developed than the 19 and 20 year olds that he was facing on a weekly basis. There are a lot of people, and then you get into the analytics side of it, where people are talking about at what age you are at your athletic peak and what age you are putting up great production at the NFL or at the college level. You know, you look at and that's one of the big knocks on Calvin Ridley, honestly, at the wide receiver position, is that, you know, he was putting up all this great production. Yeah, he was a true freshman, but he was already like 21, 22 years old at that time. So it's just that the whole thing to me, I fall somewhere in between, where I'm not really against it from a, like, I'm not going to knock a guy for being 24 as a rookie. Like, I to me, if the guy can play, the guy can play. I'm going to take a 24-year-old that can play over a 22-year-old that can't. And that's kind of where I go. I go by how good of a football player is the guy. Because honestly, and I think that most coaches feel that way too, Ross. I mean, I would think you would probably agree that a coach doesn't care if the guy's 24, if the guy's 25, if the guy's 21. They can't guarantee that they're going to be there at the end of his contract. They're trying to win games right now. So, I think, to me, that's where I kind of fall on the age thing. If the guy can play and he's 21, that's great. That's a huge plus. If the guy can play and he's 24, I can live with that. I'll be okay with it. To me, it's the biggest red flag is when I see a guy that's older and has a lot of development to do. You know, you look at the kid from Central Florida, who's a tight end, Jordan Akins, from Central Florida. He's declaring for the draft as well. He's going to be 26 years old. He's a redshirt junior, just like Hayden Hurst was a minor league baseball player. He was a third-round pick by the Texas Rangers a few years ago. Spent 4 years in their farm system. Really good at the catch point. He's explosive down the seam, but, man, he has got a lot of work to do, not just as a blocker, but also as a route runner. There's just a lot of development there. And so that to me, scares me, because he's a lot older, and he's got a lot of development to do. That means he's not going to be ready to play year one. So by the time he's ready, he's going to be 27 years old, 28 years old. That to me is what you're talking about, it affecting his value.
Yeah, I him being 24, almost 25, doesn't bother me at all. I would just say when someone's 20, 21, that would probably just excite me a little bit. You know what I mean? I would think, wow, there might be some more growth and potential there. And he's, you know, younger and all that stuff. That would be more of the issue for me. It'd be more of a positive the younger the guy is than any negative the older the guy is, probably. What about a day three gem?
Well, this guy's going under the radar right now because of this injury. You know, he was invited to the Senior Bowl and couldn't go. He couldn't work out at the combine. That's Miami tight end Chris Herndon. He's just under 6'4". He's 253 pounds. He's one of probably the most athletic tight end in this class in terms of his overall versatility, where he can line up, how he can win. He's a really good athlete. He's very good after the catch. He played in the same offense as David Njoku last year as a first-round pick, and he played often alongside David Njoku. They played a lot of 12 personnel down there under Mark Richt. So you got to see him used in a number of different ways. He did line up in line. The difference between Chris Herndon and David Njoku is that David Njoku was a little bit better as a blocker and a little bit better as a route runner, and that to me is the big thing that made David Njoku a first-round pick. And if Chris Herndon was healthy, probably more of like a late to a third round pick. Now with this injury, we'll see how he's developing and, you know, how he's healing and all that. But that's going to hurt him. I would think that that's going to knock him a little bit, especially the fact that we don't have any kind of profile on it from an athletic standpoint. But to me, you watch him on film, this is a guy who could stretch the seam. He can create separation. He's a great threat with the ball in his hands. They used him a lot of different ways. He was able to show that he could block. So to me, I see a guy that's got three down potential down the line, but at the very least should be, you know, your starting F tight end, a move guy that can create mismatches. I think I like Herndon a lot. He's probably going to be an early day three pick.
All right, Fran, give me a 3-for-1. Just three more guys you want to talk about for whatever reason.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz from Stanford is a player that I'm excited about because, to me, he's got a really good blend of being able to be a good receiver and a good blocker. He's one of the better blockers in this class, even though he's got more of an angular frame. I mean, he's 244 pounds, a little bit skinny, but he's a technician at the point of attack and was used that way at Stanford. He's not a yards after catch threat, but is reliable at the catch point. I think he could be used in a lot of different ways there. Another player is Troy Fumagalli from Wisconsin, who – look, I know that he's not the biggest. I know he's not the strongest. He's not the most athletic. But this kid is just so much fun to watch. He is all grit. He's an outstanding route runner. He's really good at the catch point. He's one of the toughest tight ends in this class. And every time I watch him, I say, this guy's an NFL player. Now, is he he's not the sexiest pick. He needs to get stronger if he's going to be a point of attack blocker. He's not great with his releases right now, but overall, Troy Fumagalli is one of my favorite players to watch in this class, this position, because to me, he just looks like an NFL player. Everything that he does, I think, translates well to the NFL game. And then Tyler Conklin from Central Michigan. He's a little bit on the short side. He's 6'3 even, but he's 255 pounds. He's really quick. I really like his athleticism, his ability to get in and out of cuts. He plays the ball well in the air. He's got good hands. He was used in a lot of different ways as a blocker. He's not really like a point of attack inline guy, but I think he could be used in different ways as a blocker, and he needs to get a little bit better as a route runner as well. But I like what I've seen from Tyler Conklin. And lastly, one guy that we just haven't talked about, and I mean, there's buzz that he could go late first round, potentially second round, is Ian Thomas from Indiana. And this kid absolutely looks the part. He's 6'3.5". He's 260 pounds. And I know I'm giving you 4-for-1 right now, but we can't get it through the show without talking about Ian Thomas. Smooth athlete. He's got the athleticism of like a big guy on the basketball court. Really good hands. And he's a pretty good blocker too. He's one of the best pass protectors in this class. And I think he can win at the point of attack, especially with his size. So Ian Thomas is definitely a name you should keep in mind moving forward, because he could be one of those shockers that goes in the top 50.
I love it. All right. I'm excited for the secondary next week, both the safeties and the corners. A lot to talk about there. Then really looking forward to our mock draft like we do each and every year. Hopefully you guys are already following us on Twitter. Again, Fran is at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. If you're a Facebook person, it's facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Fran's got all kinds of awesome stuff going on over at PhiladelphiaEagles.com, including Journey to the Draft. He's got Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, lots of things to check out, and the Journey to the Draft podcast as well. And, of course, over at RossTucker.com, you want fantasy football, we've got it with Evan Silva from RotoWorld, the Fantasy Feast. We've got Even Money, if you'd like to make your games a little bit more interesting, with Steve Fezzik, and the Ross Tucker Football Podcast will keep you up to date on pretty much everything all the time. Fran, thanks so much as always.
Yeah, you got it, Ross. Appreciate it.
Other than that, the keg is kicked. We're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, John Harbaugh, Judge Judy, and John Madden.
I thought one of the greatest jobs in coaching in the NFL was Jim's first year with the 49ers.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Great time to be a Wolverine.